And as we look at this passage, it has to do with the church. And who is the church, and what is the church, and how are we a part of the church? And so when we look at what the word church means, we use it in a lot of different ways. And it's used in a lot of different ways in the Bible, that we can use it to describe the church building. And so if you drove past this building, you say, oh, this is the church. Or maybe describe your small group or something like that is, oh, that's really my church. And that could be just a smaller group of people. You could describe it as something bigger, a national thing. So the Church of America. Or it could be a global thing, the church, all believers everywhere. And so the Bible uses it in a few different ways, and we use it in a few different ways. But really, the church is believers. When believers are together, there's a church. That Jesus says, you know, when two or three are gathered in my name. And so you have it being as small as two people gathering with the intention of, let's know more about God. That's church. And it can be as big as all believers from all time. That's a church. That all the way back, years and years and years, moving forward all across the globe now, that's a church. And so it's a big span there. And let's look at our church here, Trinity Vineyard. Who does the church belong to? Now we could say, oh, it belongs to the pastors or the overseers, but the real truth is that it belongs to Jesus. We're here, and we're together for one reason, that's Jesus. But who makes up the church? That's all of us. That when we talk about church, it has to be with other people. And that's the definition. You can't really have church with just one person. And you can't really just have church with one person doing everything. And so often we think of church as a spectator sport, where you have the few people who this is their job, or they have a position at the church, and they do the ministry, and we watch, and we kind of maybe cheer them on from the sidelines. When church is all of us together, that in the Bible you see the church being called a body, that it has many parts, but it works together. And so all of us together form that body here for Trinity Vineyard. So it's not just a handful. It's not just the people who speak up front. It's all of us together. And if you think that you don't have a role, then you're mistaken. Every part of your body is important. If you've ever stubbed your toe, you know how important that is to you. Or if you've hurt your, you know, had a hangnail or something like that, that hurts. And so the smallest pieces in your body are very important. And the same thing with the church. So we're going to look at that today, what it means to be in the church and belong to our church. So we'll start looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 1 through 10. Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had to also descend into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And so you see in these verses a lot of what we looked at last week, of inclusion, of being together, that it's one. There's unity here. That there's one body and one Spirit. We're called to that same thing. We're called to the same Lord. So there's a cause for unity. So as a church, there's a call to unity, that we're here for Jesus, and we're called to that. And we need to be having that in the forefront of our minds when we look at what we want to be doing, our priorities. Are we coming together as one to really fulfill the calling of church? And we'll continue on in Ephesians. This will give us maybe some different titles and different roles that we can look at of how each one of us can kind of fulfill our part in the church. This is Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all obtain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes a body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so Ephesians 4:11, you have five different titles there, five different roles. And that's of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. And these are called many different things. Some people call them the constitutional gifts. Some people call this fivefold ministry. Some people just take the first letter of each one of it and call apest. And so there's different terms for it. But this is a list in the Bible that explains some different roles in the church. And there's other lists in the Bible, other lists that Paul creates that has slightly different here. But we like to, in the church, use this one because it has some importance. And it's really, these things are called to. So you have verse 11 that explains them, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's what these roles are for. And sometimes these roles are used to describe only leaders. And so you have leaders in the church, and maybe they have some of these roles, but no one else has them. So it's only for the really important leader types, and the rest of us just get to kind of maybe watch on. I want to tell you that all of us in some way are called into these gifts. That each one of us has an area or an influence or gifting that our church needs. So you have the ability to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ. That's you. And the thing to understand, and I'll go into each one of these gifts in just a minute, but the thing to understand is that there's different levels, there's different areas of influence on these gifts. And so sometimes we think of the most extreme example when we think evangelists. Okay, there's Billy Graham. Well, I'm not Billy Graham, so I guess I'm not an evangelist. And we set the bar way up there that if I'm not that, then I guess I'm not anything. When really, there's different areas of influence where maybe you're an evangelist, but you're an evangelist to your family or to your small group or to your neighborhood or to your friends, and it's a smaller group. That doesn't make it any less important. Or maybe being called to a pastor. So Dan and I, one of our high gifts are being a pastor in this list. And we're called to do that for a congregation. And so don't think, oh, I have the pastoring gift, but maybe I'm not supposed to be a pastor, so I don't have it. Maybe you're supposed to be doing that in a small group. Maybe you're supposed to be doing that with a different set of people. Maybe you're supposed to be doing that in a children's class and pastoring them. And so there's different areas of influence. So don't think that just because you're not doing it at the highest level, you're not doing it at all. And the fact is, if all of us started doing a little bit, that magnifies into those bigger things. And so each one of us need to see where am I called, and then what's the little way that I can start doing that and start working that. So I want to just explain what each of these five are. And as I'm explaining, maybe try and figure out which one you are. And if at the end you still don't quite know, I have some resources I can point you to maybe help you out a little bit to kind of determine where you're at and sometimes you can have more than one of these as well. So let's dive in here. So we have apostles. And this is the word apostle is just a Greek word that really just means the one who is sent out, the sent one. And they're visionary, pioneering, pushing into new territory. So apostles are ones that see there's this territory, there's this group of people, there's this country over here where the gospel's not there. I want to go there. There's nothing established, there's nothing else out there. I'm just going to go out there. And so they're entrepreneurs, they like to do new things. And some biblical examples of that are the 12 disciples that we call them the apostles, that Jesus died, he ascended, and then they started doing that. They went out. And then, of course, you have the Apostle Paul as well, that he went out, missionary journeys, going to places that had not heard the gospel before and saying, I'm going to do something new here. And the core question that really the apostles really ask are we leading the people of God to their destiny? And so that there's this idea of like big picture, where's the destiny here? What's the destiny of this area or country? And how can God be a part of that? So that's the apostle. We have prophets. Prophets are ones who hear and listen to God. And they can kind of foretell what's going on, or they can say, God is saying this. You have some biblical examples of Anna and Simeon. That's in Luke chapter 2. That's after Jesus, 8 days after Jesus, and you have Anna and Simeon who are just waiting and speak prophetically over Jesus and his life. And the core question of the prophets is, are the people of God hearing his voice and responding appropriately? And so prophets want to say, what's God saying? And are we doing that? Are we living that? This is what God's saying. So they always want to go back to, I want to hear from God, and what is God saying? And our mission is what we're doing, our lives, following what we're hearing God saying. Then we have evangelists. These are ones who bring good news and share God's message. And these are people who love to spend time with people who aren't believers yet. Or maybe just quite aren't quite there yet. And these are people who just kind of by their nature just kind of gather people around. That they're friendly and they're outgoing and they're engaging, that people just want to be around them. You have a biblical example there of Philip. And their core question, are new people entering the kingdom of God? And so they're concerned about this group of people. They haven't heard. These people, I want to bring them the message. Those are evangelists. You have shepherds. And shepherds can also be called pastors, same word. Shepherds really care about other people and mostly believers. And they want to make sure, are people being cared for? Are people being listened to? Are there ways that we can help them? Can we reach some spiritual maturity? They're the type of person that has no problem sitting down to coffee and hearing you talk for a couple hours. That's just who they are. They want to know about you. They want to care about you. They want to create community, a place where you feel safe and loved. And you have a biblical example of Barnabas, who was really just son of encouragement. That's one of the roles there as well, is encouraging others. And the core question there is, are the people of God caring for and showing compassion for people? Really looking at, are the people being cared for in the right way? Then you have teachers. These are ones who share God's truth. And they tend to understand complex theological truth, but explain it in really simple terms. So these are people that are like, man, you know, the way they explained it actually makes sense to me. And so they have a way of just explaining God's truth in a way that you can apply it to your life. So it makes sense to you. You have a biblical example of Apollos, and that's Acts 18. And the core question that they're asking are people of God immersing themselves in Scripture and incarnating it? So are people understanding the Scriptures? Are they understanding God's truth? And teachers are trying to find ways to do more and more of that, of how can I get people to understand the Bible, God's truth? So maybe as I'm explaining one of these, you kind of, maybe those core questions are really kind of pulling at you, like, yeah, that's the one I am. And maybe you're a few of these, and it, you know, you're not just always one. Maybe you have some of these. Maybe some of these are like, yes, that's me. A few months ago, I went to a meeting where Phil Strout, who's the Vineyard National Director, spoke to local Chicagoland Vineyard pastors and leaders, and he talked about this passage. And he talked about apostles and prophets and evangelists, shepherds and teachers. And he talked about this with a term that he called dynamic tension. That you need all five of these working together. But it creates some tension because each one of these sets of people are asking different questions and are going different, slightly different directions. And so if you have a pool of resources, you have the apostles that are like, new territory, right over there, I'm going to head over there. I don't have a plan, I don't have anything set up yet, but I'm just going to go. And you have the shepherds that are like, well, what about our people here? Let's use that same, you know, resources, let's care for our people, let's create community. And you have the teachers that say, well, let's use that same resources, but really train people up and get them to understand more about the Bible. And you have evangelists that are saying, well, let's use that same resource pool, but go out in our community and find people who aren't believers yet. And you have prophets that are saying, let's spend some time trying to hear from God. And let's spend our time and our money and our resources developing to hearing more about God and aligning our message to that. So each one of these sets of people is pulling in slightly different directions. But if you look at each one of them, you think, that's good. The apostle going out, blazing new trails, that's good. The prophet, let's hear from God and align with what he's saying, that's good. Evangelist saying, let's find people and invite them into our community, that's good. Pastor saying, let's create community, let's develop people, let's care for people. That's important. Teachers, encouraging people to understand more about the Bible. It's all important. And so dynamic tension is this idea of all of these people, all these groups of people working together for Jesus, even though it may look differently, even though you may be pulling in slightly different directions. And the main thing that Phil Strout was talking about is that you need all five of these. And if you're not getting all five of these, then it's like you're in a canoe or a rowboat and only one person is rowing. And I got a picture of that. What happens? You go in circles. That you have one, maybe you have one of these and you have the pastors here or the teachers or the evangelists, the prophets, and they're the ones that are really just, they're rowing. But the rest aren't. Does the church go anywhere? No. It doesn't. It goes in circles. Maybe you felt that way about a church or this church at some point. You think, wait, where are we going? Is anything happening? And maybe that was because it's going in circles. And the solution to the problem isn't for the person that's rowing to stop, because then you still aren't going anywhere. The solution to the problem is for all of these people to put their oars in the water and start rowing. That's when you start going somewhere. Is even though you might think slightly different, you say, you want to know what? I'm going to be, you know, going on this side, and I'm going to be doing my evangelism thing, and you better be doing, you know, your pastor-teacher thing over there, because I'm rowing on this side, so you better be rowing on that side. And we encourage one another, and even though we're doing slightly different things, we say, you better keep going over there, because I'm going over here. And each one of these things needs each other. That the apostle that's going out to the new places, the personality of the apostle is, I'm going to do something new, and then once that's even slightly established, I'm on to the next thing. So there's a group of people there that need pastors and teachers to say, let me care for you, let me train you, let me teach you. You need evangelists to be pulling people in. If you just have pastors and teachers, they have people who are cared for and trained, but no one's getting in there. It's a closed group. And so the church needs all of these working together. And so when I said at the beginning that the church is all of us, that means we need every single one of you putting your oars in the water. And that could mean a different thing for each person here. You all have different giftings. You have different callings. You have different areas that you want to be ministering in. And that's how it's designed. That we all have an oar to put in the water. And too often when we look at church, we see the things that aren't happening and we complain. And we say, well, this isn't happening, and this isn't happening, and this isn't happening. And so we blame the people who are actually doing things. We say, well, they're not doing enough, or they're not doing this, or they're not doing that. When the solution isn't to complain, if you're in that rowboat and one person's rowing, and you're just sitting there complaining that you're not going anywhere, that's not helping. Grab the oar, start going. That this church, Trinity Vineyard, is yours. And so as a church and as each one of us, we need to be putting our oars in the water, using our gifting, and that's when we move forward. So if you're an apostle, if you kind of heard this and you think, I'm kind of that person, tell us your dreams. Tell us where you want to go. That Trinity Vineyard has sent missionaries, we've sent church planters. Tell us what you want to do. Well, let us support you in that. Let us get you ready to maybe do that missionary trip or go to that new place. We want to be equipping you. And we part of the apostle is that it kind of just drives. There's just some energy there, and we need that. So if that's you, we need to hear from you. Be dreaming big, and we want to help you with that. If you're one of those prophets, prophetic people, be praying for our church. Be hearing from the God what our church needs to be doing. And hold us accountable to being aligned with what God is saying. And part of that prophetic is also sometimes what we do after the service, where we share prophetic words that are encouraging our church. We need to hear from you. If you're an evangelist, be inviting people into our community. Use your gifting, and we have community events, and we have different things. Be inviting people in. If you're a shepherd, care for people. That could be in a growth group. That could be in another small group. That could be with different sets of people, but be caring for people. Make sure people are loved and cared for, that they feel part of our community. If you're a teacher, tell us what you've learned. Explain the complex truths that maybe some of us don't understand. Explain it to us. Teach us. Encourage us to go back to the Bible and continue to learn. That we need each one of you to be doing that. That the roles of the pastors and overseers here aren't to kind of do all the work and we're going to create everything and you guys just need to follow along. What we want to do is we want to support you guys as the church community to do the work. That our jobs are, how can we support you? How can we maybe, you know, get some barriers out of the way for you? How can we maybe train you a little bit, encourage you? How can we do that for you? That we want you guys to be stepping in and doing this work. And when we do this, that's when we start seeing movement. That's when we start seeing the canoe start going places. That if you think of a potluck, everyone brings some food and you all end up full with food left over. Imagine a church if we all brought something. A potluck isn't a lot of fun when only two or three people bring something and you each get a little spoonful of something. That's not a lot of fun. And everyone leaves frustrated and hungry. But what if you bring something? And with a potluck, you don't want everyone to bring the same thing. You want different things so you can eat a little bit of everything. That's the picture of what our church can be. You bring your gift. You bring your energy. You bring what God is telling you. And then we come here together and we feast on that. We get encouraged by one another and we're led and we feel fulfilled because of what everyone else is bringing. And we have extra for the people that for that day or that week just they couldn't bring anything. We need to have the extra for them so that not every week we have to bring something, but you can come in broken and say, man, I just need something today. I couldn't bring anything. But when we all bring something, there's an abundance to give. And that's the picture of the church, and that's the picture of what our church could be. So please rise. I want to just pray for us and pray for this. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit now to be on us, and I just pray for these gifts that you manifest them in our church congregation. Lord, we want to see more of these gifts. We want to see people stepping into their callings. We ask for just your Holy Spirit to lead and guide and give that nudge of this is your calling, step into that. Lord, we ask that you take away barriers, you take away fears, you take away all the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and take that out. Lord, we want our church to be moving. Allow us to do that. Lord, I thank and I praise you so much that we have unique people here, that we're not all the same. We have a diversity of gifts and talents and drives and energy, and that's the picture of your church, and I praise you that I see that, and our church has that. Allow us to grow even more into that. Lord, allow each one of us to be overflowing with your Holy Spirit so that we have some to give to someone else. And Lord, I pray for big dreams for what your kingdom can do here. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll ask the ministry team to come forward. And go ahead, Luann. Yeah.
That's
it. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you, Luann. All right, members of the ministry team, come forward. And go forward in the blessing of the calling that God has for your life, and walk in that calling in boldness. In Jesus' name.